Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
We'll start with the Giants. Is that what, that's what we did 10 a.m., where, you know, the Giants had some hope going into this game, thinking they could make it two wins in a row, and young Jackson Dart showed, in fact, that he's a rookie. And for me, I think we just got to separate the two things here. Instead of worrying about winning and losing and trying to be relevant this year, it is about evaluating what Jackson Dart can do with Brian Daboll. And through two games so far, I'm more encouraged than discouraged with the Daboll-Jackson Dart connection.
I'm very encouraged with Dart. I'm not encouraged with Daboll. It's just a lot of evidence here to the contrary. He just, you know, the team just has a lot wrong with it. And I'm not going to let the illusion. Although, actually, I don't even think it's an illusion. I would say the blossoming reality, probably a better way to put it, of a young quarterback and a head coach who appear to be on the same page. That doesn't mean I'm going to remain married to a coach that I don't believe is good enough to elevate this team to a championship team.
Yeah, I would rather just have the combination together. We had this conversation in the offseason. I'm standing with what I said then. If they were going to bring Shane and Daboll back, meaning let them make the selections this past draft, which they did, then it's got to be beyond this year. I didn't think that they were going to go to the young quarterback, whoever that would be. Obviously, it's Jackson Dart. This soon into the season, as we're now in week 5, you got the start clearly in week 4, but they have, and now my mind turns from, okay, well, whatever they thought they could do win-wise, it's about evaluation with Daboll and Shane, and I think we're just getting started here in only 2 weeks with young Jackson Dart as a start.
Let's say the Giants go 3-14. That brings the mark of Daboll. I'm doing really quick math. I don't know, 21 or so, and it's almost 60.
Yeah.
And Dart looks good, but not amazing. Is that enough to say, okay, I'm going to bring it back for year 5?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you have to let the whole thing play out here, but I'm not chasing. Look, you got to see who's available. You got to see how bad it goes the rest of this year. It's just week 2. Like, the rest of the way, it's going to be the same thing. Oh, fire Daboll, fire Daboll, fire Daboll. And then what's going to happen is if they do that, it's going to be, is it Shane and Daboll both gone? Do they keep some continuity and keep Shane? And why would you do that? Because he's been just as bad, I would argue, even worse than Brian Daboll if they, in fact, finish with that record. And then you're going to have one GM hiring another head coach, and they're put with a quarterback who the prior head coach selected. Like, it just doesn't make sense. We've been down this road before with the Giants as recently as the Daniel Jones thing, having Daniel Jones forced upon Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. So I would do anything I could to avoid that, and it would take disaster for me to move on from Brian Daboll. I'm not saying that it would have to, like, next year, different story. Mm-hmm. It would take disaster this year, meaning that Dart has to look awful and show regression to me break him and Daboll.
So I got you. And now the only thing to me, and this is good for the future, is that, and I didn't know about this. I mean, I saw Jackson Dart play a couple times in college. Obviously, when you're getting ready for the draft, you start seeing the film. You're like, okay, he's a good athlete. He's got some wiggle, whatever. We liked him. But until you really see him, you know, play for your team in the NFL, you don't know. I believe that even, like, Jackson Dart's going to be appealing to any potential veteran coach, which for me changes the mindset a little bit if this thing bottoms out and it's you know, 2 wins, 3 wins, just an eyesore of a season again. Because I think if you're a veteran established coach, I mean, what does Jackson Dart not have except the winning resume? But he would be 1 year in the books.
Right, but who's the coach? Dude?
I don't know. But, you know, and that's not a good answer. I'll give you that. But I can tell you who isn't the coach. Yeah. And that's the guy who's been running the Giants into the ground.
But then we could have the same conversation, whether it's, oh, hey, here's an offensive coordinator. Now see what you can do with Dart. Like, I'm actually excited for the first time ever with Dable having his guy. I like that pairing, and it's only been two games. Now, we need to see, obviously, a lot more. We also talked about the Yankees, speaking of needing a lot more. I mean, they got their clocks clean over the weekend, and now we're on the brink of elimination yet again. I do not think this series is over. As a matter of fact, I think it's far from over. However, inexcusable. Max Fried, Aaron Judge, and the rest of the Yankees offense. It's not just two games in Toronto. The Yankees bats have been quiet for all of the postseason so far, and then yesterday in particular with Max Fried, your $218 million ace, he hasn't gotten the job done against the Blue Jays all year long.
When the Yankees got whacked in game one, I said, and I almost did this, and I'm happy I didn't, I almost went bonkers by taking the Yankees in four. I almost played that. Because the matchup with Gausman was favorable for Gausman this year. Yanks haven't really ripped. I know a couple of guys have good career numbers, but Gausman's been a bit of an issue for him this year. And I fully expected, Sal, yesterday, once we wiped away the doldrums of the Jets and the Giants, to sit down and to see Max Fried, maybe not be amazing, but certainly be good, and for the Yankee bats to go to town. And instead, we got maybe the most inept offensive approach and results. And I'm not talking about the seven runs they tacked on against lower leverage arms that the bullpen, that the Jays threw out there just to get through the game and piece it together. I'm talking about when the game, starting from the first inning with the empty swings from Grisham and everybody, I was stunned. And because of that, for me, I'll be rooting like a maniac tomorrow night. I really don't know that I have incredible confidence that the Yankees crank out a couple of wins and get this thing back.
Yeah,
you
were saying all year long you thought Toronto was better.
I did.
And then you got away from that lately. I thought the Yankees were better all year long, and I certainly thought that they were going to be better. Now, I also had no idea about Yusavage. I mean, that guy was as good a pitcher as I've ever seen, including what Schwitler did the other night against the Red Sox. This was even more impressive than that. Like, the Yankees couldn't touch him, couldn't sniff him. And the only way they started to get back in the game was when Schneider took him out. And I understand why he did. It was a blowout. You want to save him, whatever. The thought of that guy again facing this Yankee team, even if it's for a second time in game five in that building, that's not comforting to me as far as having the Yankees win this series. But I fully expect the bats. And they better get going. Like, this is on Aaron Judge. Judge has been awful here. Look at the average. He's had a lot of singles. Great. That's great. Any big spot Judge has come up in with a chance to change the game so far through five games has not happened, and he has failed in that spot. And to me, that's the bigger issue that's been continued from year after year after year, and now series after series so far this year.
Aaron Judge last year, you know, he stood there at his locker at the lowest moment of his professional career after dropping a pop-up all of us would have caught when we were eight. And he took it like a man because that's what he is. He's a high-character performer. He's a consistent performer. Whether he wins the MVP or finishes second, whatever, he's an all-time great player. And he comes out and he puts up this amazing regular season just to let everybody know, all right, this is who I am. But there's got to be another level in October. And I'm sorry, a bunch of singles. I don't care what the average is. For me, the real proof is what do you do in these moments where the game is on the table? And the way he flailed at that slider on Saturday. And by the way, the two guys behind him did the same thing, basically.
The whole lineup.
The whole lineup. Stanton was awful. I was very surprised at that. And let's say that the Yankees are in a tight game tomorrow. And I do agree. It's been the offense, which has been the main culprit here. And obviously, Fried was awful. But let's say that the Yankees are in a 5-3 or 2-4-2 or 6-4 two-run lead tomorrow. Do we trust Weaver? Is Warren getting the baseball? I mean, I like Cruz more than you, but even I'm not looking at Cruz like I would, you know, like a Stanton or Jeff Nelson back in the day. So there's other things that worry me. I mean, they're hanging by a thread.
Last and certainly least, the Jets.
Yeah, always least, always last losers. Just the most morbid, sad sack, pathetic franchise that I've ever seen. And, you know, listen, I'm not even saying this to, like, get a click. I really don't care. I don't care about the Jets anymore. I just don't. They have broken the spirit of so many people, you know, and everybody kind of has their threshold where it's like, all right, I can't take anymore. This is enough. This is the end of the rope. And for some, it was Bowles, and for some, it was Gase, and for some, it was Sala. And maybe because Aaron Glenn being a really good player and saying the right things and me feeling it, And me also thinking the Jets might be a little bit better talent-wise than they certainly are, particularly on defense. Their defense sucks. I do not watch them with an ounce of emotion. I no longer watch them with an ounce of care. I also will raise my hand and be the first one to say, whenever they are good, whenever that is, I'll jump back in and enjoy it as much as anybody. I will watch every snap, but I am desensitized to how bad and lifeless they are. They stink.
Maybe that would be the best thing for the Jets organization, because I feel like the negative feel around that organization just will not go away until they start to win, which is very difficult to do, for especially for a young head coach, a first-time head coach, with all the losing that they've done. So you play a great competitive game one, but you lose that game, and unfortunately it's been downhill since. Glenn is a shell of what he was before he got hired here, or after he got hired here. And I think that that storm of negativity is just overwhelming. And if more people have apathy toward this team, which they should, because there's no reason to get in. I was saying this from the beginning of the year. It's not about wins or losses with the Jets. I want to evaluate Aaron Glenn. And if you're doing that, just even aside from wins and losses, it's been ugly. He doesn't have the answers. It's got to get better. But it's so early on in his regime. The talk is already about firing him or potentially somebody else, and that's not healthy. Maybe more people being apathetic toward them could actually benefit.
Stabilize it. I didn't really think of that. It's a unique way to look at it. I think Joe B is going to be on with Evan and Tiki today, I think. I mean, how does Joe even care? How does anybody care? And, you know, listen, we've been doing radio for a long time. We've all had moments where, like, you know, you get into it with a caller, you're an idiot, you're a jay, you know, and say things maybe we don't really mean and we wish we could take back. Mm. I really don't say that to him. Like, I don't really call people idiots. I try to be above that. But the Jets are idiots because, I mean, I really mean this. And I need to reassert this because this was a conscious decision on the part of the Jets. The Jets had 53 guys walk out there in stiflingly hot black uniforms on AstroTurf when it was 88 degrees at kickoff. The Cowboys had white. That was a conscious decision. The Jets actually, and if they didn't calculate the weather, then they really are idiots. If they did and they ignored it, then they're even more idiotic. So I am just, you know where I stand. I really don't care about the Jets.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nick is calling from Newton. What's up, Nick?
What's up, BT, Sal? How we doing?
Nick, what's happening, buddy?
Sal, I met you this weekend on Saturday. You came in for ice cream.
Yeah, the Denville Dairy. I was going to tell you, BT. So Nick was the one who called us where he was getting married last year.
Oh, I remember that.
During
a
Nick playoff game.
I remember this.
So I went to Denville Dairy with my family. And
you get a little discount to take care of you, Nick?
Nick, all good. But I did have to give him a tip. You know, it was one of those things.
They have
the
jar out there?
Yeah. No,
Nick,
not,
come
not
on,
the jar.
Man.
You know what I'm saying, Nick? Mm. The little tells you to tack on the tip. I felt obligated. After
the digital one?
No, man. Yeah. You're fine, man. Man, you're fine. It was great to talk to you in person. But these sports teams, they really did a number yesterday, didn't they?
They did.
I'm a Giant fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
Okay.
And I never thought at one point in my life I'd be saying the first weekend of October, God, I can't wait for the Knicks. oh my goodness. Like, I watched that first half of that Giant game and the first two drives looked great. And then it just implodes. You switch to the Yankee game and it's down 9-0. It's like,
Nick, obviously you've got separate emotions, even though yesterday was brutal. Like, but I know you can separate the Yankees and the Giants. Giants have been awful for a long time. Yankees haven't won in a while, but the Yankees are always very good. But you got to at least admit, unlike the Jet fans now, at least you got Jackson Dart, and you get to see where he goes and how he develops, and he's going to pop a few. Like, that's got to give you something.
It does. I'm more leaning towards BT when you say I like Jackson Dart, but I don't like Dable. We just look so unprepared.
Yep.
We look unmotivated. We get hurt more than any other team in the league. We look tired out there. By the second half, they all had their hands in their laps like, here we go again. Like, I can't do it. Dable, he just stands there with his arms crossed, shaking his head. And the defense, Shane Bowen, get out of town.
Yeah,
he's
got
to go. If there's anyone fired before the end of the season, it's him.
It just the problem is, though, Nick, and thank you for the call, and thanks for taking care of us Saturday there. We, you know, we paid, but he was, you know,
I got you.
Serving
I
us
got
all.
You. How was the ice cream? Good? Good setup?
Very, very good. Yeah, nice.
My what? Wife.
No, so my wife's cousin was in town. I told you about that.
Oh, yeah. You did
so it wasn't just, you know, it was my wife's cousin, my wife, Sammy, and then, of course, I had to get a little something. But anyway, it was nice seeing Nick at Denville Dairy. My issue is, if they fire, they can't fire another defensive coordinator, not the head coach. Like, How many coordinators are going to get here?
Keep passing the buck here?
Yeah. But I also don't think Bowen has done a good job. Not with this defense. They got to be more aggressive. But this was by design. Dable wanted Shane Bowen by design. Those guys got to go out there and attack more. I thought it was idiotic. You talk about the Jets being idiots. I thought it was idiotic to play Abdul Carter on the inside. Like, I don't care who's hurt. Abdul Carter should be playing on the edge. That's his skill set. He's an elite edge rusher. Let him wreak havoc in the backfield. So whose nimwitted idea is it to have him play inside? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I can't push back on Bowen, and I certainly can't push back against or for Dable when you look at his record. However, the most valuable thing in the NFL to me is the combination of head coach and quarterback. And this is only the second game that we've seen Brian Dable with his quarterback, Jackson Dart. And in those two games, to me, I'm encouraged about what Dable and Dart can become, even in spite of his record overall.
Yeah, you definitely more than me. You know, I feel like Dable has had a long enough runway just to show some stability in other areas. And again, this is not about, you know, getting on the air and saying that they should move on from Dable today. No, this is just, you know, where I am right now as I evaluate him, where I was at the end of last year, which is where I am now. I mean, I would not have brought him back. I don't see any evidence really to the contrary this year. The only thing that's changed is that a talented player showed up. Like Jackson Dart showed up, and there's moxie, and there's speed, and there's a good arm, and there's a dynamic quality. I don't think that Dable's improved upon anything because they still get highly penalized. They don't look like they're in great shape. Don't love the game plans. They still stink.
But to be fair, like, I'm not sold on Jackson Dart either. I'm just saying I'm excited about the possibility of Dable and Dart together. To be fair to Dable, if his rookie quarterback doesn't have three turnovers in the game, they probably win that game.
Yeah.
Like,
what
head coach is going to be able to overcome five turnovers, four of which came by rookies, the other came of which a player shouldn't be in the NFL?
I get that part. I'm not trying to be unfair to Dable. If this was year one or year two, I wouldn't be saying this at all. There's a lot of games that we've watched where I'm sitting there saying, what are we watching here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Apparently, ticket prices are coming down.
Are the Yankees keeping the Blue Jay fans out like they did the Red Sox fans, which a lot of these teams do nowadays? You see that?
I don't know. I did see that, yeah, with the Yankees. I have no problem with that.
I don't have an issue with that, by the
way. Me neither. So I don't know what's going on with that. I do know that, at least I saw an article in the Post saying that ticket prices for game three have come, which you can understand. I mean, down 0-2,
mm-hmm.
not the same type feel of going to the game as it would be 1-1 or obviously up 2-0. But I still think, come on, man. You lost the first two up there. It's a series. Go win your next two here and get it to a game five.
So I texted you, I think it was Saturday morning. I saw you on Sports Night Friday night, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, I remember what you told us on our show here. So, mm-hmm. But I saw you doubled down. You felt really good about the Yankees going into the series. So I'm curious, and I've been here before as well, like where you have such a strong opinion going in. But then you provided evidence so much to the contrary, but because you felt one way so strongly before anything happened that it's hard to deviate from that. I'm not saying that. That's what I'm asking. Like, you really still think the Yankees are equipped to come back and do this and win three games, including game five up there?
That to me is the talk. Remember, I thought the Yankees were going to win in three or four.
Yeah.
I did not expect to see what we saw. Now, I also didn't expect Toronto could pitch like that. So I was basing my strong opinion on the Yankees bats doing the bulk of the damage against the Blue Jays. I expected the Blue Jays to score some runs.
Mm-hmm.
I expected the Yankees to score more. I still believe that they will score a bunch of runs these next two games at home. Even with Bieber on the mound, I expect the Yankees to get to him, and I expect them to get to the bullpen game in game four. And then from there, maybe the pressure's back on Toronto about choking it away. However, I would not want to see you Savage in an elimination game in that ballpark. So that's the part of me where maybe has changed a little bit, but I still, at my core, like, the Yankees are going to be an impossible out. Even in that game yesterday, it was a giveaway game.
Yeah.
They put a little bit of fear in Blue Jays fans, showing that they could come back like that. Oh, you get some guys on, boom, a home run. Like, that's how they're built. So I still do believe that the Yankees are going to make this a legitimate series, winning the next two.
I love it. I hope that you're right. And, you know, and as much as I was getting frustrated watching the game, I'm like, look at all these runs that mean nothing. You know, but once I stepped away from, like, the disappointment and the I think, the sheer stunned nature of watching these first two games, the score, there is something to be said for, you know, as a team, getting a little mojo, even though they were never going to win the game with a comeback. And just step into the batter's box with a different mentality tomorrow night. Number one, you're at home, but also because most of the guys, you know, knocked the ball around a little bit when the game was completely out of reach. And some of the, you know, I don't know if that's immediately transferable to tomorrow night, but I'll tell you this, you got to have a better chance to hit tomorrow than if you would have lost 13-0.
Yeah, 13-7 is a lot better than 13-2 or whatever it would have been. So not that you're taking moral victories, you're certainly not, but just at least saying, like, hey, you may have gotten the better of us in these first two games. We're still here. And I do think a lot of the circumstance with Toronto exploding, you're not going to see Will Warren. You're not going to see Luke Weaver in a key spot. You're going to see the best the Yankees' arms have. Hey, it could come down to Rodon.
Yeah.
Is Rodon, like, if Rodon gets lit up, all bets are off. I didn't think Max Fried was going to get beat up,
mm-hmm.
and he did. If Rodon can only give you five innings and Toronto gets to him, then
I think Rodon's going to be good tomorrow night. I trust him, not to spin an absolute masterpiece like Schlittler, or not that Fried was a masterpiece in game one against the Red Sox. That was more crochet, but I'm not even expecting that. I'm expecting him to give the Yankees a chance to win. I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Much more about the Yankees with A-Rod coming up at 1 o'clock. Back to the Giants calls. Nick is calling from Huntington. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, Nick.
Sal, I know what you're saying. I want sustainability, too, but you want to sustain this? I mean, like, Dable's not going to get fired. I mean, unless the Giants don't do that, unless your name is McAdoofus. but his Dable's teams are consistently unprepared, consistently commit too many penalties and mistakes, and they either get embarrassed or they do just enough to lose. I mean, you can book it next year. They're going to lose week one in embarrassing fashion. They're going to have a game against the Cowboys that's right there for the taking that they're going to lose in heartbreak. They don't beat the Eagles. They don't beat the Cowboys. They don't beat the Commanders. I mean, Shane has actually added talent to this team. He's made some questionable moves. I mean, Darius Slayton, I hope you're listening, Darius. You blow. You have two jobs.
Jeez, Nick.
Everybody's pissed off today, boy.
You have two jobs, Darius. Catch the ball and hold on to it. And you suck at both.
Okay? Yeah, I'm not going to disagree there. I think it was a little harsh. Nick, what I would say real quick, and we do appreciate your passion, why do you think is the main reason that they lost yesterday? Because you went over Dable and said that he does just enough to lose since he's been here, all that stuff. Why do you think they lost yesterday?
The turnovers.
Okay, and that's not on him is what I'm saying, and thank you for the call. That's on the rookies. And you're right. They haven't beaten the Cowboys, haven't beaten the Eagles, haven't beaten the Commanders, also haven't had a quarterback to do so. Now, forget what Daniel Jones has done elsewhere. He wasn't getting it done here. I actually, not that I'm going to pick the Giants to win, I don't know yet, but I don't think that this is an impossible, you know, lamb to the slaughter feel Thursday night. The Eagles just got beat by the Broncos. And the Broncos are very good, well-coached, very good team, talented all over the place. Giants are nowhere near that level. However, the Eagles have not been playing great football all year long.
No.
And with Jackson Dart, man, again, it looks different if he doesn't turn the ball over, and that's a huge if, but that's what happens with a rookie. To me, with Jackson Dart, we're in the game. You've got a shot. With Jackson Dart now. That's all you could ask for. They could run the football much better. Scataboo is a beast. I bet that he's not going to make those mistakes again. He's a beast. You could run the football with him. The RPO with Dart, that's a weapon that the Giants haven't had. Obviously, without Neighbors, that's a problem. You don't have another receiver. You got Bo Collins there not finishing the route. That led to another. Like that's not on Dable either. All I'm saying is the Dable-Dart combination, we don't know anything about. We don't know about it. We haven't seen it but two games. That's all that I'm saying.
Well, I mean, listen, you want to tell me there's also a little division with Philly? I mean, A.J. Brown talking about that go route where Jalen Hurts overshot him. He threw his quarterback under the bus. I mean, he straight up said, he's like, yeah, not, you know, basically not a good throw. I mean, I don't know what's going on with those two. It's the amount of targets. It's ridiculous here. But I just don't feel like the Giants. And I'm going to just keep it to the next game here. I don't think the Giants against a good team, and the Eagles are still really good, going to come out and look as sharp as they've looked the last two times against the Chargers and the Saints. Now, the Chargers are good, but Jim Harbaugh's close to firing his defensive coordinator. Like, that defense is not really, really locked in here. So if the Giants come out and the first couple of drives have put points up and look sharp against Philly, I'd be a little surprised. Actually, I'd be very surprised. And without Neighbors, with that, you know, potential home run, that big play, that big third down and 12 bailout, I just don't know how they're going to win a lot of games.
Fair enough. I'm just saying that the last two games, I can feel a significant difference from where we were prior.
I can too. I would be dishonest if I didn't. I can feel that too.
So we all know Dable's record. Like, nobody's going to dispute that. I can't dispute that. All I'm saying is that we are in the infancy stages of evaluating a head coach and his new young quarterback. And I wouldn't just go nuts based off of one result yesterday, even though many of you expected the Giants to win that game. Justin is in Manhattan. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about the Jets real quick. I know it's tempting not to care about them. But, you know, when you hire a new coach like that, and we've gone through so many coaches, and it feels like as a Jet fan, we're just hearing the same thing over and over again about changing the culture and accountability. And my question is, when are the Jets going to realize someone that talks about accountability and bringing accountability doesn't actually bring accountability? Like, bringing accountability means setting a set of standards that you hold your organization to, from the players to the coaches to the personnel department. And like, when was the last time you heard like someone like Sean McVay talk about accountability, or Dan Campbell talk about accountability? Like, they just set the standards. They just do it.
Well, hold on, Just. Hang on one second.
I don't want to give.
Yeah, hold on. The only thing about Dan Campbell, I didn't really watch his press conferences when he was in his first year with Detroit. I think he started 0-11. I'm sure he dropped some of that stuff like, hey, it's going to take a long time, and we've got to get men who are accountable. Otherwise, they're not going to be here. I would say that was probably part of his approach then, just to be fair.
That's true, and that's why I'm not ready to give up on Glenn yet. But I think for the Jets to really turn the corner, there needs to be a real internalization, because like, you look at that defense, like, they're not playing with speed. They haven't created a turnover. They're not playing with the physicality that's needed in the NFL.
Nope.
And, like, that's his unit. And, you know, we need to see some of that accountability on the field at some point. I know it's only been five games, but...
Well, they've cut people.
Set the standard and, like, let's go.
They've cut people. He's pulled people. What do you want him to do? You want him to fight somebody on the bench? I mean, what is there to do now?
No, but the idea that he can be chewed up and spit out by the media and fans and in just a few weeks to me is that's a real thing. The same person, the person that we saw stand up before us before he ever coached the game with the Jets is different than the person that we've seen after 5 weeks. And there's a reason for that, because it's not just about the losing. It's about all that comes with it. The fact that he had already addressed it's not the same old Jets. And what was the punchback? Yeah, we are the same old Jets. We suck, blah, 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 blah. Now he's like, what the hell have I got myself into? Like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
My team's not doing anything that I'm coaching them to do. So I've got to figure that out. The media and fans are already coming for me. They're not giving me a chance to even breathe here a few weeks in. Like, that's a lot to overcome. I'm not making excuses for him. He's got to figure it out, but... This is an overhaul of epic proportions that takes time. So for those of you who call or say you're done with Aaron Glenn, like, what did you expect? Did you think the Jets were going to be good? They suck. Their quarterback sucks. Their defense sucks. They've sucked for a long time. What did you expect? And it's all on the coach. Now, I'm not saying it's been pretty, BT, because it has been ugly more often than not. However, there are some things that you can see. Like, offensively, they can move the football.
Yeah, they run the ball. Run the ball.
They ran the football down Miami's throat on an opening drive to a point where I can't remember a Jets team I've seen drive the football like that. The idiot fumbles it on the... I shouldn't call him an idiot, but you know what I mean.
Brandon,
like,
Allen.
He fumbles it. I mean, come on, dude. You can't fumble it on the goal line.
It's a great drive.
And the whole game is ruined because he fumbled it on the goal line. One thing Aaron Glenn's talked about, we can't beat ourselves. All they do is beat themselves. Is that the head coach's fault? I don't know. Can't cut everybody. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, the one thing you said that, you know, okay, so with the same old Jet stuff, he didn't have to address that. He chose to address that. He willingly and proactively and almost preemptively addressed that. Like, if he was asked about it yesterday, like, you know, hey, Aaron, you know, you were here for Kotite. What do you say to Jet fans who feel like it's the same old Jets? And he said what he said a month and a half ago? Well, then that would make more sense. But he started his press conference, and trust me, I took the bait. I was fired up, and I'm not quitting on AG. I'm just quitting on Woody. He's the worst. I'm gonna stick by AG for a little bit. But Aaron Glenn said, "Hey, on his press conference, introductory press conference, we're the New York Jets, and we're built for this bleep." That's what he said, and I'm like, "All right, here we go." And then shortly thereafter, he with no prodding, no provocation, he went into. We're not the same old Jets. That was his fault.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night. As we know, the Jays jumping out early.
Jeremy Clement, right-hand hitter. Places it an upward. Breaking ball swung on, hit deep to left. Going back, Bellinger on the track. Look it up. It's gone.
That's how it sounded. Of course, they've gone. Dave Sims and Susan Waltman with some audible grunts and understandably in the background there on the fan last night. Yankees getting absolutely hammered. And, you know, I'm watching that, and I did not think he got that. That was a 75-mile-per-hour curveball. Now, most of the other ones were just hit on the absolute barrel, but he was in front of that, and I did not think that ball was going out. You look up, it's in the seats. Yanks down 2-0.
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
Like, I'm going to be really honest with you for a second.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't want you to get upset at me.
No, I'm not. Go ahead.
I enjoyed every second of that game yesterday.
Did you enjoy Juan Soto's Instagram post last night? Did you see that?
I did see that.
That's got to bother you as a Mets fan. Hey, he's posted. Where is he? Cancun? Where'd he go?
He's in Cancun. That's what he said. Literally Cancun.
It was Cancun, right? But come on, Juan. Hey, listen, he deserves it. He had a good season. The season's over. But I don't know. I have a little bit more understanding where the Met fan is right now to post that on Instagram. Right, give me a break.
But think about it. What's the alternative?
I know you want the Yankees. You don't want the Yankees to win the World Series. I get it.
Well, I'm just going to say that, now you know that, like, I do want to root for Boone, and I really do believe the Yankees are coming back in the series. Like, I wholeheartedly believe, I'm not going to say win it, I wholeheartedly believe it's going to go to five, and then anything's possible. My core tells me that they're better, the bats are better than this, and at home, with the Blue Jays' worst pitching, Game 3 and Game 4, even if Bieber looks like Bieber, I still think the Yankees' bats get going.
Okay.
And maybe Toronto's best shot is, in fact, to sweep the Yankees. Otherwise, they let them off the mat a little bit. Game 4, more momentum. Schlittler on the mound. Yanks' bats against the bullpen. Now Game 5, all the pressure on them. But, I mean, look, I'd be lying to you, dude. I stopped hating the Yankees a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That hatred started to come back up.
It is.
Yeah, because of the Soto stuff that has happened in the offseason and again this season. And the Mets have been so awful. And we know the Mets' misery. Like, there's nothing that can come good of the Yankees losing. It's not going to make it any better for the Mets. But I would bet you that the majority of Mets fans, even if they don't hate the Yankees, just want the Yankees out because it's been such a bad year and tired of seeing the Yankee fans have some joy.
See, I'm trying to put myself in the other shoes here. Like, two pairs. Number one, if the Mets were playing right now and the Yankees were not, and then maybe more specific to this conversation, if I'm you and you are me, and it's the rooting, the dynamics as they are normally,
how would you feel? Right.
I would want the Yankees to beat Toronto. I would want the Yankees to win the American League Championship Series, and then I would want the Yankees to lose in humiliating fashion on the World Series stage.
Somebody else said that to me.
Is the most pain from a Yankee perspective.
Yeah, I never played that game. I think it was Lugie who was telling me last week that Bob Huesler, who was the leader of the crack committee,
Mr. Met,
used to want that to be the case. Root for the Yankees to get Game 7 of the World Series every year and then lose. Yeah, I don't want that.
Really?
I just want them out.
You don't want to take the chance, or you just don't want the Yankee fans to have another month of fun before they actually, if they were to lose?
I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't root for them to win, or at least in this particular case, I can't root for them to win.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I never thought about, let's let them win and get to Game 7 of the World Series. No.
Yeah.
Like, it's good for business. The Yankees keep winning, so it's fine. And I do love watching the games and talking about it. I'm just telling you that, like, the fan in me, after all the smack the Yankees
coming back out. He's coming back out.
Yeah, I can't.
He's out of the cage. Good.
That absolute ass whooping was, it was refreshing to me. I gotta be honest.
I like the honesty. Yeah. I get it. I, you know, and by the way, though, the other thing you got to factor in here, which could maybe change how you view what you want the Yankees to do. If the Yankees lose tomorrow, we got to talk Jets and Giants. Dude.
Yeah, no, go.
I mean, who the hell wants to do that?
Well, that would be too soon. That's why maybe this is the perfect little.
Yeah,
like, let the Yankees win a couple of games here. Maybe go. And I wouldn't mind an ALCS. I'm just telling you. You know, I'll adjust accordingly. I just, like, it wasn't like I was watching that game going, oh, crap. I was watching that game going, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You weren't
alone. When Judge misplayed that ball, that was horrible. In the right field corner, that was before the home run that we just played for Clement. That was Varsho's ball down the line. I mean, if I'm a Met fan, you know, I'm sitting there saying, catch the ball. If I'm a Met fan and Fried's getting whacked, I'm sitting there saying he's getting his brains beat in.
All right, well, what do you think is the biggest impetus behind the Mets-Yankees trash talk?
For me or for most?
No, just for most in general. Bingo.
Soto.
Right. So when you see Judge misplay a ball on right, when you see Judge continue to have postseason failures, if we went over the whole, I believe that plan A with Soto was better than plan B, like, Soto got him to a World Series a year ago. So to get back to that point and then, there's a lot that they have to do.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I think that's the primary factor.
Dude, there's a lot of takes that we have had emotional connection to that are either going to be denounced or proven right.
Right.
I get it. I honestly do. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. By the way, the highlight that we played there, the home run, that was the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night, brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. Soto's having a few of those right now on the beach, I'm sure. Enjoy your wine. Have
it
fun.
It is. I was not bothered by it. I just don't care. Like, think of the alternative. All right, so he's young kids, they're going to go to social media and put that stuff out there, right? I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you have to show the flyover going to Cancun?
You
while
don't.
The
Instagram, that would bother. See, it's funny. Now, again, if the Mets...
Nobody else is posting that, only Soto.
I think it would bother me more, and I think this is a different reaction than most people would have. I think it would bother me more if, rather than the Mets getting to and maybe winning the World Series, I hope by now people know I don't really hate on the Mets. I'm not jealous of the Mets. Most of the time, I don't really factor in the Mets outside of my job, of course. And more so historically, because the Yankees were so dominant for so long. But I think it would bother me more if, like, Judge or one of the Yankees put the Instagram beach, like, after, I don't know, I think that would bother me more. I'm not saying don't go and have a great time. Dude, you had a hell of a season. Talk about Soto. Put up big numbers after a really rough start and some head-scratching inability to perform in the clutch, which was not Soto. But, like, as that happened, I'm like, just go to the beach. I don't care if you have, you know, five women feeding you grapes and fanning you on a hammock. Do what you got to do. Have fun. But to post the beach when the Mets, the way they finished.
You know what it just shows you? Because he left himself alone. He just doesn't care. He doesn't care. He left himself open for the jokes and the Mets punching back. Oh, yeah, of course you're in Cancun. You should be in the postseason, but you're not. You guys failed. $765 million. Team's taking a shot at you. Nick Castellanos taking a shot at the Mets. You saw that last week. He doesn't care. He's like, here, I'm going to Cancun with my family, whoever. I'm enjoying it. I don't care what you have to say. BT and Sal on the fan. We do care what A-Rod has to say. He'll be joining us when we come back. 888-808-1019. We'll get to your calls next hour as well. But A-Rod joins us next on the fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.